What is humility? Okay, let's see. Let's see. We're up to Tezvav. Tezvav is page Samach Vav. We're up to Halacha Tezvav. 15. We're up to a new topic, Shoresh Anova. This goes on for a very long time, Anova. Everything here is divided into letters. Okay, this goes on for quite a long time. Okay, let's see how far we can get. The root of Anova. What is the root of Anova? B'makom sheyesh gedula v'chavod yarchak atzmai. So he explains, in a place where there is gedula v'chavod, if you are in an environment where everything depends upon greatness and honor, in a society where your stature, the values, your status, the values of the society that you're in are all dependent upon your greatness. I'm assuming he means greatness means money, the chavod, and social status all depends on these factors. So he writes here, yarchik atzmai. You shall distance yourself. Do not be part of a society where kavod is a factor in life. V'lo yichlol atzmai im shar b'nei adam. Do not include yourself with these people. Ketzad, for example, shahay l'fanav rabbi v'zochar kushoy t'niya asher toma oy terutz asher teretz. If a person was in the presence of his teacher and he remembers a good kasha, a very good question, a very good answer, don't brag. Don't say, "Oh, do I have?" You know, let's the Rebbe is discussing a topic. So you say to the Rebbe, "Okay, I hear what you have to say, but let me tell you what I have to say." And my father was a rabbi. I know many times people come to my father, and when my father gave a drasha, he would say to him, "I hear what you said, but you know, my son last night at the Shabbos table, you know what he said?" He said a much better answer to that question. My grandson in third grade at the Shabbos table, he gave a much, much better answer to the question that you mentioned in your drasha. Okay, you know how many times that happened to my father? It happens to every rabbi, my father, every rabbi. So what are you trying to do? You're trying to go to a person who spent a lot of time preparing to say over something profound. And you're saying is, I want to brag. You're saying, I have a better answer. What is the purpose of you telling over your answer that's better? The Sefer HaChassidim is saying, Al yoymer l'rabbi o l'chaveroi kach, I have an answer. I kach ikshesi. El kach, rather, you know what the greatest covenant you can give to the rabbi is? Rabbi, I remember that you said something else 3 weeks ago. Perhaps when you said something else, we can go, can shed light on what you said now as well. In other words, you give kavod to the person who you're speaking to. You once asked a question. You once gave an answer. And based upon what you said and what you taught, we can also understand this thing as follows. So instead of trying to shine the spotlight on yourself, on your children, your family, Adarabba, be mechazik the person who, someone else, and say, you taught us this, you taught us that. That is a very great pleasure you can give a person. You meet a person in the street and say, I remember you told me this Dvar Torah 10 years ago. Wow, you actually listened to what I said 10 years ago? You actually listened? And on top of that, you remembered it? And you remembered it now 10 years later? And on top of all that, you had the to come over to me and to tell me all this. You know who that is? That person is Melech HaMashiach. A person that can be so kind and gracious to go so far. Instead, what do you have typically? A person does something very, very nice, and you tell him, yeah, what you did was good, but the rabbi next door is much better. My third grandchild in third grade, he's much smarter, much better. And this is mamash ma'isim b'chol yom b'chol etz b'chol shah, is that when people do something noble, very great, it's just a springboard for someone to say, but there's someone out there that's much greater, much better, much smarter. So it's not just chutzpah. You think this is the absence of kavod, absence of anova. This is the complete diametric opposite of anova. Anova means it's not about me; it's about you. Think about our private conversations. How many times do you say the word I?
That's Obama.
Okay, Obama. I know. Obama. That's one of the big. That's right. It's one of the big. The big criticism.
No,
the word "I." When you are speaking, when you are speaking to your fellow man, when you're speaking to someone, if you hear yourself say the word "I," you're in trouble. Because that means this conversation is all about yourself. It's not about the other person.
That's why they use the royal we.
So the royal we, okay, that's a little bit better. But why are you saying, if you really use just the royal we to refer to yourself, that's a problem. If you hear yourself in the conversation saying the word I, then maybe there's no need for you to say that statement. There's no need for you to relate an event that happened in your life. Instead, focus on the person. Give him the pleasure. Give him the hana. You. He's saying over here in a few words, but what he's saying is so basic, so fundamental. When you get his words over here, you come to a person, your Rebbe, don't go say, oh, I hear what you're saying, but I have my answer, my interpretation. I know another rabbi that gave a better interpretation. Did you first respond and say what you said was very, very good? I like what you said. What you said was brilliant. It was amazing. Maybe I also want to share with you another vart. It doesn't go like that. People, they come over, someone says a drasha, they say an idea, and they make no comment. They don't give any compliments to the person who gave over words of Torah. The first thing they say is, let me tell you what he said. Let me tell you what he said. Let me tell you what he said. And the whole emphasis is, I want the covenant also. I want to show you that I know something that you don't know. I know something. That is the absence of another. When you're trying to put the spotlight on yourself and not the spotlight on someone else, that's not called another. Another means I don't exist. I am not important. What is important is you. You have taught me this lesson. Wow. I want to let you know that you have given me something. And if I want to engage you in conversation, let's discuss what you said. Let's not discuss what I have to say or what my third grade child has to say. That's not anova. Anova means I don't exist. Pshuto kimashmo. Yes.
You know, you may be familiar with an acronym in social media, IMHO.
What's IMHO? I don't know.
IMHO.
I am.
IMHO. It's very commonly used.
What's HO?
In my humble opinion.
What organization?
Whether it's sincere or not.
Listen, you have to say your piece, but everything depends on the context. When the entire focus on yourself and someone else is just a tool to get to you, to use that person as a way of enhancing your own cover, your own honor, to show him, you know what I know, that is not called anava. Anava is where the focus is on someone else. Are you a giver or are you a taker? It all comes down to that. Yes.
What
did he say?
What is Ani Hashem
Well, the Ribbono Shel Olam is different. You can't. And when we hopefully we'll get to the third part. I want to talk about that exactly about that. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. He hit the nail on the head. We're going to come to that in a moment. You're right. So yes, how can it then be that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very demanding, Hashem is very demanding that we respect Hashem? If the whole essence, if Anav is such a fundamental principle in Yadus, so how come Hashem does not always show Anav? Hashem demands that we recognize Anochi Hashem Elokecha. You know who I am. So obviously the Ribbono Shel Olam is in a different level, different category, which we're going to discuss a little bit later. Hold off, this is an excellent question, and hold off just for a few moments until we get to that, to understand Anova in regard to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let's cover some ground. Let's go further. The Oid, another example. Yitin l'rabbi oid l'chaveroi ha'kavoid v'loy loy. The goal is to give the Rebbe, is to give, make the focus of attention to the Rebbe. Give him the cover, not yourself. Shekeinu was the Moshe Shavu Yeshua. Now here he says something very interesting. One of the things that we're learning from the Sefer Chassidim is he has very novel interpretations of Chazal. Interpretations that he sneaks into his words that if you don't pay attention, he'll pass you by. You don't realize what he's saying. But he's saying things that are different than everything we've learned as a child. And he gives an example of humility where he says, Moshe says to Yeshua, Bechar lanu anoshim. Now let me ask you, what does that mean? What did you think that means? And what does Rashi say it means? You, Yahushua, select for us. Who is the us? No, okay, that's I hear for us. I'm not. We're going to fight. We're going here to fight a Muhammad against Amalek. We need some good men. I want you to select for us. So you're suggesting him select for Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's an idea. What else? Oh, the Pshuto Shel Mikra is between me and you. We're in charge here. We are now, Moshe is saying to Yahushua, we have a mission to go and wipe out Amalek. We need some good men. We need a good army. So I'm the general, and you're the second in command. You're the first officer, and b'char lanu anoshim. Go out into the barracks and get some good volunteers, some good recruits, some good men for me and you.
A few good men
for me and you. Lanu, I Moshe, I'm the general, and you Yahushua, you're my first officer. So it's for us. So it's not what it means, because then what does that have to do with Anova? Rather, what it means is Aaron. He's learning Pshat in the Pasuk, B'char lanu anoshim, select for myself and for my brother Aaron anoshim. I am not even in charge here. I'm not the general. That is an act of humility. Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go to war against Amalek. We need some good men. Moshe should really have said, B'char li anoshim. I'm the boss here. I need men. So why did Moshe say, Lanu? I have a brother, Aaron. Aaron, who ye neviacha? He's my equivalent. Not now. Hashem told you, you should lead the war against Amalek. This, according to the Sefer HaChassidim, is an expression of Moshe Rabbeinu's humility. Only because he translates the Pasuk Lanu to mean Aaron, Moshe of Aaron. Now what Rashi in Chumash says, B'chal Lanu Anoshim means Moshe and Yehoshua. Can you explain this over here on the bottom? We find over here, he says, B'chal Lanu, look at Ois Beis on the bottom. Okay, Michil Tashon, the Ein Bichloli Apoiskim, Mibal Knesset Gedoyla. Okay, he doesn't explain over here, he listens over the top over here. Let me see where I okay, so he doesn't say over here, but over here I have another Sefer HaChassidim which okay, that's correct. That's what Rashi said. But let me maybe read you over here. Maybe believe that the next time we're going to use this edition. This is a brand new edition of the Sefer HaChassidim. The Mefarshim are not as elaborate like in the Masidur of Cook, but it has beautiful Nekudos, commas and Nekudos. It has a small commentary on the side, and on the bottom, every so often, has other Mefarshim. So here, they're on point where he explains this. I'll read you what it says over here to say Pshan this piece. The loy omar bochar li anoshim. The hishve aroin shehoye chaveroi. In this pasuk, the Sefer HaChassidim is telling us the chiddush that Moshe include Aaron. The svirulei lechosid hamechaber. He calls the chosid hamechaber. Mash omar bochar lonu anoshim. Loy koi al Yehoshua kiperish Rashi bechumash. So Lanu is Moshe the Aaron. He deflected the honor from himself. When it'll go down in the books of history that there was a battle of Moshe. Moshe was the general against Amalek. Moshe says, I don't want the credits. I want it to be distributed equally to Aaron. We'll both together take the award. Don't give it to me. That's an example. Another example. Let's go further. Now he goes to Yeshaya. Okay, the Oidksev. I'm sorry, Mikan Lamad. From here we learn Lamar Gamliel. Okay, go to the next page Samach Zayin, Mikan Lamar Gamliel. From this Pasuk, he's telling us the Chiddush, Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi of Klal Yisrael. He learned the principle, the Chosav, and he wrote a letter to the B'nai Goyla, Shapir Milsa. The matter is proper. Okay, whatever the story is, the sugyan, they sent a letter. He needed to issue a psak halacha for Klal Yisrael. And when he sent out the letter to the entire Klal Yisrael telling them what the decision is, he did not take credit for the halacha. He wrote, Shapir Milsa, the matter is correct. Be'an po'i, in my understanding, uve anpe chavroi, and in the opinion of my colleagues. When he issued a halachic decision that he himself made, he did not take credit. He says, I'm just part of the team. There's a team here of Talmidei Chacham, we have a Beis Din, and therefore this is what the decision is. It is correct and is fitting in my eyes and in the eyes of all of my chaverim. He deflected the honor. We have to see the Gemara Mesechta Sanhedrin exactly what we're referring to, but whatever the idea refers to, it was a matter of honor, and he refused to take the credit for himself. He deflected it to
but
give.
But you don't know if he actually consulted with him.
Even if he did consult with him, he is the one who makes the decision. How often do we find today people write books? They didn't write even one word. The book is ghostwritten. The book is ghostwritten, and big, big letters on the title of the book is the person who claims to have written the book. And nowhere, even in the introduction, is there even a thank you to the person who
the research assistant wrote the book.
Not even that. They don't even say that. Another person wrote the entire book from beginning to end, and there's no even mention of giving any hakaras atav to that person who assisted in any way, even though in fact that other person wrote the entire book. This is Ma'aseh Mechol Yom. I wrote the book. This is my book. I want this to be my legacy. I wrote. You don't even know how to spell your name. And you're telling me you wrote this book? What kind of crazy nonsense is this? And you don't even want to give credit and say thank you to the person? So Rabbi Gamliel, when he issued a very novel decision, which we assume we have to see the Gemara, or assume from here is that it was his idea. It was his understanding. And the other, and if he even consulted, that's even a question. But the standard, what it would have been normal, would be that this is my decision, and I'm letting you know. That's how it's going to be. No, he did not want to take credit for himself. He acted with humility. Shapir be'anpai uve'anpei cha'v'ro'i. You lose nothing by being humble. Next, v'yod kosa. Another example. V'yod kosa, v'yod says in the pasuk, v'yod sha'amach v'shbaruch hu li'yishaya. The very beautiful pasuk, esmi eshlach mi'yelech lanu. Hashem said, I need to recruit some good men to serve as prophets. Mikon limda Torah derecher and derech anova la rabbanim. Here it's something very similar to when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. When Hashem said, "Create man," I don't know why he's not going to the most basic pasuk. And Hashem said, "Nase Adam," let us make man. Rashi on that pasuk says, "Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say Nase?" Linda Torah derech eretz. Humility. A person when he's about to do something very great, don't take credit for it. Act in a humble way. Hashem consulted with the malachim. I think Rashi there says anova, to teach men humility. So for some reason the Sefer HaChasim is not going to Naseh. He's going to another idea, a pasuk in Yeshaya, where Hashem says, Mi eshlach umi yelech lanu. Hashem says, I have a message to deliver to Klal Yisrael. Who is interested? Who will I send? Who will go for us? Us. For I. There's only one Ribbono Shel Olam. This pasuk is very misleading. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he's coming to recruit a prophet, the Klal Yisrael, is he saying, who will go for us? Who will represent us? Who's us? There's only one Ribbono Shel Olam. Same answer as the beginning of the Torah is to teach us derech eretz. It's very fascinating because we passes by. We read this pasuk every in the Haftarah. Passes by. Mi eshlach lanu. It's an act of humility. Mikan from here. Lim the Torah derech anovel la rabbanim to teachers. Im yikshe b'yeinech olam aksiv es mi eshlach. Why did it say? Es mi eshlach v'loik siv nishlach. Does not say nishlach. Does not say nishlach. So what should it say?
Nishlach should it. If it's a ramim, it's nishlach.
Nishlach. So that's why it's. That's the end of those. Don't make. And maybe this would open up the opening to say that there's apikorsis. So the answer is in Hanami. The fact that it says eshlach, I, the likes of nishlach with the nun os. So it's a balance. Just like when it comes to the creation of man, Hashem says, Vayas Elokim es ha'adam. In order to refute the apikarsim that there's more than one rishus, Even though Hashem said Naaseh Adam with a nun, Naaseh Adam, when Hashem actually came to create man, it says Vayas Elokim, Vayivra Elokim Es Adam. So here's the same exact thing. Here we have a contradiction. On the one hand, it says Miyelech Lanu, but Mitzad Sheni it says Eshlach I. So there's a contradiction. What's the reconciliation of this contradiction? There's only one Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's why it says the word Eshlach. I will send. But in order to teach man humility, I'm also going to throw in another word of lanu to show that person should act with humility, do not take the limelight for yourself. Next. So we have a very nice example from Yishai, then we go to the Mitzach Shiyakim from Harel Shmoy. Now we have another example. Another very beautiful example. Okay, we're up to the fourth line down from the top of the page, Samal Zayin. A person, when you speak to your friend, you should always give him more honor. Sheyaktim shame chaveroi l'shmoi l'chol davar. When you're representing yourself and someone else, always mention your friend first. B'l'shoim laz. Okay, this, I don't know what this means over here. V'chol, you have a good sense of what this means. Boish amoini. I don't know what this means when he what he means. Boish amoini. What is it over here? Dalav on the bottom. Ein radak sham. Okay, I don't know what he means over here with boish rutsloim chaveri umanoi. Look on the side, the perish. Boish rutsloim loimar chaveri, my friend. Umanu rutsloimar v'gamanoichi. V'loyomar, do not say minai ivoish rutsloimar ani v'gam chaverai. When you want to represent two people, someone else and yourself, always say your friend first and also I. V'loyomar nai ivish, which means I. K'mo shol yoisim beis beisham beis hillel. He brings a very famous chazal back to the top of the page. Beisham beis hillel, when they would speak in halacha, they would say shachoy kolechad maskim tamoy shel chaveroi koidem tamoy. They had their cheres between them. Kashahu mesaper shneim, when both of them were discussing the avdiv olam. And if that was true when it comes to words of Torah, how much more so should it be true with regard to mine de oma, matters of this world, to give more derecheres to your friend than to yourself? Next. Uchashayoshev, yeshiva, yedei akushiv, v'teret z'tayv, a person in yeshiva, he knows a good answer, al yikpoit l'amar, ad shivire, shlo yosumu, alev, oz yiftach piv. Don't jump. Think twice. Right? There's a lot of good expressions. Think big. What? These are expressions. Think big. Think, how's it go?
Speak softly.
Now, there's an expression about all the different things that you should have grand thoughts. Many different expressions, but the most important thing is think twice. Before you actually let those words come out of your mouth, think twice. And that's what he says over here. Shlo yosum alev, oz yiftach pev. Because if a person says with every thing, that's an act of gaiva. Humility demands that a person be thoughtful before words come from his mouth. If you know what your friend is saying, al yikpoitz val yikonis b'divrei chaver lomar yodati. This is ela yishtek v'yishma'enu. If someone tells you a vart, and you know the vart, you heard the vart 1,000 times already, derech eretz demands that you make believe you never heard the vart. And you get excited like you never heard the vart, even though you heard this vart 1,000 times. There are a lot of Bali Musar, a lot of Bali.
Heard that on the
road already, right? There are a lot of Bali Musa that did this. All the Bali Musa, the Kelm people, where they, when Talmidim would tell them Divrei Torah, and it's like, you know, this is the run of the mill. Everyone heard this part. They actually listen patiently, making believe it's the first time they heard it, and they acted with excitement to make the other person feel good. There's a very famous story with one of the Gedolim where there was an ace tzara. That one of his children or one of his close friends was in a very grave situation. He was in danger. And then the reports trickled in that he was spared. And it was a very, very big simcha that this person's child or friend or spouse was released from a very dangerous matzav. So people found out about this one at a time. And they came running to the Rebbe. Rebbe, guess what? The person was saved. First time, the Rebbe, wow, Baruch Hashem, oh, such good news. He hugs and kisses him. Thank you for telling me the news. Goes out. 5 minutes later, he gets a knock on the door. Rebbe, Rebbe, did you hear what happened? Your friend, your child was saved. So he acted as if he heard it for the very first time. Why? Why do you have to deny the person the pleasure? The pleasure of giving me the hana. You have pleasure that you're telling me good news. I should deny you that pleasure. Let me behave in a way that it's as if I heard it for the very, very first time. It requires a lot of discipline, a lot of patience to do something like that. But that is true greatness. But the Sefer HaChassidim is telling us something much deeper, which I would never imagine in a million years, unless we're learning this today, is what is that midah? It's not just all the article books, they'll tell you that it's patience. Patience, you want to make someone, it's chesed, I want to make you feel good. I want to have patience, I discipline myself. He's teaching us something which blows my mind. That's called anava. This midah is humility. Why is it humility? Because it's not about me, it's about you. The essence of humility is, not that I'm humble, I live in a basement, I live in a bunker, no one sees me. You know what humility is? There's two people. There are two people. Who is more important, me or you? It takes two to tangle. In order to have anava, you have to have a partner. I always thought anava is, you go into your basement. I'm all alone. That's called humility. I don't need to be part of this world and be in the limelight. No, in order for there to be anava, you have to have two people, two to tangle. And there has to be an engagement between these two parties. And you have to show you are more important than me. If I'm going to say, I know the Vart, I know the news, it's old news. So basically, what are you doing? I don't care about you. I don't care about your excitement, about your emotion, about the fact that you exerted yourself to come and tell me this good news. I couldn't care less. I know the news. You're not telling me anything of benefit. There is no benefit for me in hearing what you have to say. I know the Svart. I'm aware of the information. There's no benefit for me. It's all about me. I have no benefit. Get lost. But if it's about you, you have gone through the effort to do me a kindness, and that deserves appreciation. It's irrelevant if I know the information, not know the information. That's called anava. The mahus of anava lefi the Sefer HaChassidim is where there is an engagement between two parties, and you show the other party you are more important. That's a whole new taich in anava. Every word of Sefer HaChassidim is mole mole v'gadosh chiddush. You never thought of another like that. Okay, let's finish up this paragraph. A person should not jump. Okay, we're like right smack in the middle of the page. You should listen carefully. Anyone listen? Now he's saying also, just practically speaking, listen, be a good listener. Every person provides new details. Everyone has a different spin, a different take on the information. Yishma ba'dover tama sheloi shoma. You'll hear something different. V'gam mahano yeshlo. This is the main point we mentioned, we emphasize. What pleasure do you really have? L'hispo'er ba'dover loymar gam kamoicha yodati. Why should you glorify yourself by saying, to glorify yourself, loymar gam kamocha yodati, I know this already. Soif davar. Okay, let's try to finish the page. Soif davar. Kol mash adam yochel lemaid b'kvoide k'dei lahagdil k'vod yirei Hashem tzarech. Lasses. Whatever you can do in order to diminish your honor, in order to give more honor to Hashem, you have to do shenemar nivze be'enov nimos. Yes, Yirei Hashem Yichabed. A person in his own eyes views himself to be two things. Nivze and Nimos. Okay, there are two words sandwiching the word Be'enav. You in your own eyes look at yourself being both a Nivze and Nimos. But V'yesirei Hashem Yichabe, those that have more yira shamayim than you, you give honor. V'im yira shachidim eskabdim ba'anova, v'loi ha'boishes, yishma l'chem, you see the other people, mischabdim ba'anova, v'loi ha'boishes, yishma lohem. If you see other people, not sure what it means, these words, mischabdim ba'anova. They are mischabdim ba'anova, they have embarrassment. Let's read further. In other words, let's see if there are people that are really truly greater than you. They're truly, truly greater than you. And but they're humble people. And they want you to go, they want to give you honor. What are you supposed to do now? I have in front of me a person who's a very, very great person. But he's very humble, and he wants to give me honor. I can accept this. So what are you supposed to do? You're embarrassed that you should let him go in front of you. You're going to go in front of them. These people force you to precede them. People who are observing this situation in the street, and they see this person's walking in front, and they say to themselves, what a mechutzef. This guy, he goes in front of these other people. Who is he? He's a nothing. Little do they realize that the reason why I'm walking in front of these other people is because those people force me. They insisted that I go in front of them. To give them honor. He says some very harsh words. To them will be considered a chait and a sin. They're getting honor in his shame. This is really, really off the charts what he's saying over here. Let's try to understand what he's saying over here. Is that, let's take a situation, we have two people. We have, let's say, a gadol hadar, and an oisvarf. A gadol hadar and a person that is not a good person. The gadol, they're walking in the street, and one person has to walk in the door first. So the gadol hadar is a very humble person. He says to this guy, you go first. The guy says, I'm not going first. I'm a nothing. If only you knew what goes on in my mind. I'm not going first. And everyone knows this. I'm not going first. The girl says, I insist you go first. So you have no choice. If someone very great tells you to do something, you have no choice, you must listen. But by me going first, I'm really embarrassed. Because we open up the door and everyone sees who walks in first, they're all going to say, what a bore, what an empty person. He entered into the room before the gadol hadar. What an idiot. What a mechutzef. I'm not a mechutzef, don't blame me. I didn't want to do this. This gadol hadar force me to go in front of him. He forced me. So the Sefer Chassidim says, the Gadol Hadar is wrong. The Gadol Hadar has done a very great chait. Right. Incredible. Because you've caused this person embarrassment. You should realize, just because you're the Gadol Hadar, and just because you are, and you want to be humble, I don't want to take advantage of my stature. I don't want to take advantage. Let the guy go first. That's all fine and good if no one is watching. Right. But if someone is watching and do not know that you have insisted that he precede you, they're going to have thoughts that this fellow is just is no derech eretz. And this person is embarrassed that people think about him that he has no derech eretz. And they do not know that you told him to go first. So you have caused someone else embarrassment. It's foul sha'anivas.
I would look at this differently. I think the gadol hadar is doing something wrong by letting this oisvarf go first because it's a bazayin to the Torah. He should go first.
Chaim, that's a Chaim Berlin svara. You were raised and bred in Chaim Berlin. Very good.
He goes first.
He's not saying that. I hear what you're saying. I understand fully what you're saying because I come from the same background as you.
Yeah.
Okay, he's saying something very different. He's saying something very different. He's saying is that, forget about Kavanah Torah, the Gadol does not want to take advantage of his stature. So he tells someone to go, but you're not allowed to do that. You have to think about the consequences.
But the iceberg will probably not be embarrassed.
He is embarrassed.
Because he's an iceberg.
He is embarrassed. We're dealing in a situation where he's embarrassed. He's embarrassed. So you're not allowed to be an on-off all the time. There's a time and place for everything. If this Gadol Hadar wants to be an on-off and let someone go in front of him, that's not correct. Forget about Kavod Hatara. It's because you're putting this person in a very difficult situation. You're forcing him because he's going to listen to you. But he's going to be embarrassed. You don't have a right to embarrass him.
But there's a social pecking order.
What?
There's a social pecking order. If the president is walking to the room, he's going to walk in first. If he says to you, you go first. You know,
so that's the problem. It's exactly so. The president is wrong. He's addressing you, the president.
Talking about a social, if it's a good order, he should be first because that's the social thing.
Exactly. So he does not. There are certain times when you don't have a right to be moichel on your cover.
Right.
Because you have to have seichel. Because by you being moichel on your cover, you and him know. But the world doesn't know.
Right.
If the whole world is watching on television, then you're walking in with the president of the United States, walking into a room with someone else, and the other guy walks in first. What kind of idiot are you? Millions of people are watching that this intern walks into the room before the president. What kind of idiot are you? Little do you know that 10 seconds ago, before the president insisted that the intern walk in first because the intern brought him a cup of coffee. So the president says, walk in first. The president has to have enough seichel to realize, maybe me and you know this, but the millions of viewers don't know this. So the Sefer HaChassidim is coming to blame the president. You should have enough seichel. You want to be a nice guy? Okay, be a nice guy when no one's watching. But don't be a nice guy when it's going to be at the expense of your intern. Because in the media, they'll say, oh, this intern is what an idiot. What an idiot. Walked in front of the president.
It's not about the person. It's about the position.
The position that he represents. That's what he was saying. It's very, very true. There are many, many times online, dealing with politics, where you see things that are not proper, which cause a lot of embarrassment to journalists. I may be yawning. Okay. They realize that there was an arrangement made, a private arrangement made between the power of authority and the journalist or whatever other party, but the world doesn't know about this. So the world begins to question, what's going on over here? And little do they realize that there was an arrangement made, but that's not always to the benefit of the other people because there's an accusation, there's missing information. I'll give you a little funny story. I told you this story, but maybe someone didn't hear it. There's Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was walking out of the room. He gave a shiur in Chaim Berlin. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was once a Rebbe, for many years, a Rebbe in Chaim Berlin. And he once was giving a shiur. A new boy came to the yeshiva. And the boy in the shiur, he every 2 minutes, he spoke up to challenge Rav Aaron Soloveitchik to slug up the shiur. And he fought back, but it was give and take the entire shiur. This boy was a mechutzef. He spoke up. He was out of place to question the Rebbe. When the shiur was over, the boys were filing out of the room. And it happened to be, Hashgacha Pratis, they came to the door at the same time was Rav Aaron Soloveitchik and this boy who spoke up and challenged the Rebbe many times. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said to the boy, you go first. You go first. So the boy said, no, it's okay, it's okay. So the Rebbe says, no, I insist, you go first. So the boy says to the Rebbe, Aaron Soloveitchik, Rebbe, just because I slugged up your shear doesn't mean you have to give me so much kavod to go first in front of all the Talmidim. So the Rebbe said, so if Aaron Soloveitchik said,
No.
Okay, he doesn't. That's okay. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, he pats the boy on the back and he says to the boy,
yeah. No, come.
No.
No.
So the Rebbe, the Rav Aaron Soloveitchik pats the boy on the back and he says to the boy, it's not because you slugged up the shear. You're holding in your hand the Gemara. A sefer. The halacha is, if you're holding a sefer in your hand, the one who has the sefer goes first. Okay, we'll take a very short break and then we're going to learn some Kibbutz Avo Emo. I want to discuss the topic of Kibbutz Avraham. It's in this week's podcast.